Hello. You're listening to What the Fuck Do We Know? We live in a country where there is a war right now, a massive war, which is being fought at the front line, also an aerial war with missiles and drones, which is a modern day technology, if I may say. A big part of the war as well is the war on the media side, propaganda. This year, I believe, there should have been an election, but there isn't going to be an election. Am I correct?
Yes. Presidential and yeah, parliament.
Yeah, exactly right. And I feel that one of the reasons, maybe not the only reason or the main reason, is there is a risk of having a huge media problem if there is an election cycle in the country with war.
Yeah, I think we have to mention that we are talking about Ukraine.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Because I believe if you say propaganda, usually people think about China or Russia.
Yes. So, China, Russia, yes.
Yeah, so I think that it's pretty obvious, as China is not fighting any huge wars right now.
No, there was a recent election in Taiwan.
It's not a war, though, is it?
Yes.
So why did you...
Okay, but I think it was one of the reasons, but... And I do think it is a good time to talk about propaganda. I think maybe not so much because of the elections, because I think a lot of it is more political. And to be honest, I think the justification for the cancellation of the elections is not that much related to propaganda.
I don't know what it is, but I think that if I had to come up with a reason, for me, a very strong reason is propaganda, because when you're in an election cycle, there is a lot of use of the media. There's a lot of news. People get more attentive to the news. That's why in the US, when they had the election, there was a huge problem with election, like the integrity of the election, not because somebody stole votes or whatever, but because of the amount of fake news that came out leading to the election. When there is an election cycle, people are more attentive. People want to read Facebook more and look at Telegram channels more. And that is a very great time for any kind of opposition country to begin to feed information to people. And I think it's a good reason to think, okay, we're in a war and we have an enemy. And so we should consider that if there's an election, there'll be just like a very, very high influx of fake information.
I agree that for sure the country is vulnerable during the election season. But propaganda, I think it's only one dimension how it becomes vulnerable. Other reasons include just you have political instability within the country. There is some internal politics starts developing, and that's not what the Zelensky wanted, administration wanted, and honestly, I think the civil society in Ukraine doesn't want it as of now. So I would mention those as the main reasons.
But when you talk about internal political conflicts, these conflicts will be fed by the news around them. And it's very easy to create fake news around whatever conflict. For example, let's say there is an election and people begin to pit Zaluzhny and Zelensky against each other. There will be a lot of information about things they have said to each other or they haven't said to each other. Or Zelensky called Zaluzhny a bitch in the meeting the last time. And this will come up and this will flame the conflict.
I agree, but this is secondary reasoning.
I think that when you look into it, the news and the media will really be a backbone of the conflict, like that will happen during an election.
Okay, so I think that when it comes to propaganda and the war, I think there was within the first year a lot of materials, and there've been a lot of discussions on how Ukraine won the war, the media war versus Russia.
And people believe this?
I think back then it was a common, there was a consensus about it.
Where?
In the West, and okay. Both in the West and in Ukraine.
Okay, because I think that in the East and in Africa, Russia led the narrative by a lot.
Yeah, I don't know about Global South.
Definitely in Africa, Russia led the narrative in Africa.
Yeah, I don't know about the Global South. I can
I
agree
just
that...
told you about them.
Okay, definitely Africa, but I'm talking about Global South more generally. I think that definitely Ukraine didn't win it as clearly as it did with the West. So, but today I wanted to talk, so first about Ukraine, as we already covered a little bit, but I don't want to get stuck with it too much. And I also want to talk about propaganda more generally speaking, and whether there are any changes in it, considering digitalization that is happening right now, and considering maybe AI, and whether democracies, generally speaking, are fit to fight propaganda with democratic tools.
Why is there any reason to fight propaganda? I feel it's one of the questions that you should be asking in your list of questions that you have posed. First of all, of course, we should start it. What is propaganda?
We should.
Is that a good place to start?
I like starting with definitions, but I want to ask you because...
Ask me what?
No, if we should mention it. So, okay. I think there are a couple of kind of more narrow definitions and broader. And the broader definition would be just something like speech that is intended to influence other people's opinion. And
I think it's important, the agenda thing.
And the more I prefer a narrower definition of propaganda. And that's when, so the cutoff line for me is when the person consciously starts manipulating information to pursue some political agenda or ideology, to promote it. And
so if, what do you call manipulating information? What
yeah,
is manipulating
information?
It's
is usually
lying?
It, not necessarily directly lying. It usually involves things like misleading, cherry picking, providing some biased information, appeal to emotion, etc.
If this like cherry-picked information is, because misleading is a different, I'm just saying, if the cherry-picked information is true information, is that still propaganda?
If it is cherry-picked and the information that was left out is important to make conclusions, then yes, it is propaganda.
If the information that was left out doesn't necessarily change the conclusion,
then no.
Then it's not propaganda. So if I have an agenda and I begin to use whatever means without lying to people to bring people onto my agenda, I am not using propaganda.
So I think, for instance, we have activism, right? Or just persuasion. And like political activism, it also involves you having a certain agenda.
Yes.
And the difference or the line that I draw is that at some point you will encounter some truth that is not aligned with your narrative, inconvenient truth. And if you start closing your eyes on it, if you start cherry picking, or if you start lying about it, that's when the propaganda part starts.
Okay, so let's use the activism. I'm a female empowerment activist, right? I'm just going to
so
give
you
the most basic example. I'm not going to go in depth with it, just to understand where your mind is right now. So I don't know what they call it, a feminist.
You're a post-feminist.
I am a feminist. I forgot the word feminist. That's why I said female empowerment activist. The fuck is the word?
And you're playing taboo.
Right. I think it would be wrong. You can't say female when you're trying guess feminist. It would make no sense.
So you lost.
Okay. I'm a feminist and I'm like an active feminist, like going on the street and like, you know, protesting and stuff. And I release statistics, you know, about the pay, you know, like women receive lower, the pay gap. Yeah, exactly. And maybe domestic abuse or maybe harassment in the workplace. And I have all these statistics about it. On the other side, there has been some kind of change in what it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Even if it's not totally gone or it's not totally equal, there has been some change in the condition it was for women 20 or 30 years ago and now. If I don't mention that there has been some significant change, even if it's not closed the gap. Am I in that, in your definition, is that me using propaganda?
Depends on what point you're trying to make. If your point is just to draw attention to current problems.
Yes, that it's just to draw attention to the fact that women still have problems.
Yeah. But if you are, for instance, if you want to talk about history of discrimination and you don't mention it, I think that would be not a fair representation of reality.
I think that kind of situation cannot happen, what you've just said.
Okay, I'll give you maybe an example what I would consider propaganda within your example. So let's say gender pay gap, right? Let's say you're talking about it and then you learn about, learn that this pay gap, and by the way, I'm just giving an example, I haven't read any of the studies.
We know, go on.
So let's imagine that there is a study that says that these this gap can be explained by women just wanting to stay at home and be mothers. And that can account for the gap. You can go out there and say that there is a pay gap, but if you don't mention that it can be accounted for by this objective factor, then I would say that this is not a sincere and or objective representation of information, and that could qualify as propaganda.
What if you don't know?
Okay, this is another interesting dimension, because I think, so generally, when I gave my definition, I used consciously.
I don't think you did, but
okay. But I want. Okay.
You wanted to.
I wanted to, maybe. So consciously, but I think when it comes to journalists and maybe activists who are active in this sphere, I feel like we can set a higher standard and
also unconsciously.
Not unconsciously, but what I would call like gross negligence, maybe. But in terms of journalism, for instance, there are some standards of journalism, right? And I, even if the journalist is not consciously doing this, but if they're, for instance, not using two sources, although this is the standard in journalism, I would consider it as gross negligence in the context of journalism. And I would call that propaganda. And people who are like just lay people spreading the news, I wouldn't call them as producers of propaganda, but they can,
agents of propaganda.
No, but they just spread propaganda. But and I think that they should be held to a different, like moral accountability should be different.
So by that statement, you're saying propaganda or spreading propaganda is immoral.
Spreading propaganda.
Is that what you're saying?
I think that it is considered immoral by many people.
We're talking about what you think.
I value knowledge.
Because you said they should be, I don't remember per se, like exactly, but considered on different levels in terms of moral accountability, right? So you have considered the morality of propaganda, of sharing propaganda, or you know, producing propaganda, so to speak.
Well, I don't want to get into morality. You know that I am a moral relativist and not even a relativist.
I rolled my eyes.
I'm going to answer it this way. I want to live in a society that hold this, that has this moral differentiation between these two groups of people, the same way as we have a differentiation between premeditated murder and manslaughter.
Actually, I don't know why propaganda is considered such a bad thing.
And that depends on the definition.
No, because I just consider it to be the what do you call it, the lay of the land, right? I don't know, because I feel like I've grown up and propaganda has always been a tool all my life, right? Okay. So I just consider it, you know, fair game, honestly.
Is
honestly,
it?
Honestly, I don't think that I've ever seen it as something so, like, something so wrong.
Okay, maybe you are, don't you think maybe that you are more, like, privileged in some way that you have
this awareness? I think it's because of my ability to, yeah, exactly, maybe. But when I was a child, I didn't think
maybe
about.
Maybe I was saying that you're smart or what?
No. But I think maybe it's because I have developed the ability to differentiate or to at least know when something is propaganda and maybe choose to ignore it.
The scientific term for this would be bullshit filter.
Right, so maybe I do have a bullshit filter, and so that's why I don't feel like it, so you know, it affects me that much, maybe. And so when I see it, I just think, well, of course. And that's
But you recognize that many people don't see it the same way.
I do. Still doesn't make it bad, though.
And those, this influence on those people can make some bad things happen.
Well, yeah, these people can make decisions that I wouldn't consider good decisions, but doesn't mean that this decision is also bad. Everything is good for someone.
Yes, let's not go into it. We should have a separate episode on that. Yeah.
Okay, but about propaganda. So I think everyone has an agenda. Well, everyone that puts themselves on some sort of public, you know, platform to like speak in somewhere, to spread something.
Especially in politics.
Especially in politics, yes. They all have agendas. And you want your agenda to be spread. You want your agenda to be the most... Why are you smiling?
I don't know.
Okay. You want your agenda
just like you're speaking.
To be spread, and you want most people to, excuse me, to hear your own agenda. So you will use whatever tool necessary. And that's how I see it. I just see you trying to get people to hear it. And maybe what you are trying to get people to hear is ultimately better for them. So cherry picking and cautiously misleading people and, you know, lying by omission are just ways to get people to see the truth that they wouldn't see, you know, otherwise.
I think that's what some people do.
That's what I just described, what people do, and that's what I don't. So I think many people do, not some.
No, but I do think there is a line can be drawn between pursuing your... It's not a very firm line. But still, even when it comes to politics, and we know that we are more lenient, I think, when it comes to politics, for instance, compared to education, we don't expect politicians to be like objective. But at the same time, we still hold politicians accountable when they obviously manipulate like the audience and obviously cherry pick the facts. So I do think that it's... And honestly, I don't know, like, why wouldn't you consider it bad? Wouldn't you? Yes, for the society.
I just think that everyone does it. And so,
if everyone does it, it doesn't mean it's good or it's okay.
It can be useful. That's why I don't consider it bad. If I have an agenda, if I was a politician and I feel like my ideals and my ideology on life is the better one for most people.
Obviously.
So I would try to get people to see the light.
Do you manipulate? Would you manipulate the audience of this podcast to spread your ideas? We want to know.
I know. I mean, if I saw that my idea, well, as far as I could see, which many people do see, of course, but I genuinely think that I'm a good person and I feel like my ideas will be good for people.
The jury is still out.
Then I would 100% manipulate people and hope that when they come through this manipulation, they would see what I'm trying to give them and it will be good for them.
I think this strategy, long term, sometimes it works, but long term usually doesn't work because usually people figure out that you...
Don't think that. 2016 was what, 8 years from now, right? 2016.
What did you do in 2016?
I didn't do anything, but I just like to use Trump as an example. People haven't left that man. It's been 8 fucking years. 8 years. And he is so good with it. And No, it's just because of his charisma. Whatever you say, he's a charismatic person.
I agree.
Yeah, but no, and people went to prison for him. People stormed the Capitol for him, and they went to prison, and they will still vote for the man. I think that many people will not realize, and they just keep. And I think what he's doing is bad. But Republicans have gone on that way, and they do this propaganda, and they use grievance politics, and they use identity politics. They attack everything. And they have their followers who stick to them. And it's the problem for me, I think, that Democrats try to be good. And you're like, this is a tool for a reason. Use it. And I wouldn't consider it immoral because the ends would justify it.
I think we can move from it to Ukraine because one of the points is that one of the victories of Ukraine in at least 2022 mm-hmm. and partially 2023.
Not journalism,
but this moral, like the Ukraine managed to get retain, on the high horse. Yeah,
to retain moral superiority.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what Ukraine has been losing since.
Right. Ukraine has been struggling.
Slowly and but steadily.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't say slowly. I really think it's been a hard
fall. It's already been 2 years.
Like 2 years is a short time. I mean, I think the fall in the past year has been, it has been bad.
Yeah, especially last year.
Yeah.
And exactly here, the point from one of the reasons is that Ukraine hasn't been very open, and particularly Ukrainian government, particularly Zelensky's administration and him personally.
Why didn't you just start with him? Ukraine, particularly. We know it takes
some time. It takes some time.
You were going to just say it.
They haven't been very open in terms of their communication. And also, we have this United News happening since the beginning of the war, which is basically four main media holdings united together. They are not on YouTube.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not that in.
Okay.
I read news of Ukraine, but I don't watch. So what are you talking about?
So some backgrounds, like.
But you know what I'm talking about on YouTube? Suspilny?
Suspilny. Suspilny is the state-owned channel, which is part of United News. But so at the beginning of the war, before the war, we had media owned by oligarchs, the major media. And the thing was that Ukraine is not a very democratic country. It's basically a weak democracy. But one of the kind of cornerstones of it has always been that you have several oligarchs, big oligarchs. There is a lot of corruption, but these oligarchs kind of cancel each other out. And media, all of them, or like the major oligarchs had their own media, and they're just like had a fight against each other. And after the beginning of the war, four main media holdings just got together and started hosting common show, United News, basically, that allegedly under pressure from the administration. And also the ex-president Poroshenko, he also has media, and it was not included. And then they were denied a license, I think. So it's a little bit political. And right now, I would say the consensus among civil society is that it was necessary in the beginning to kind of counter that Russian propaganda and provide people with like objective single source of truth, basically.
Did you say object?
Objective, yeah. But why? That's the explanation. And now it is not justified, and maybe hasn't been justified for a while, because it's used as a political instrument of the administration. So I think this was a digression. So Ukraine uses this United News plus communication from the administration, which wasn't very straightforward, about the counteroffensive, maybe about goals, about mobilization for sure. All of that contributes to Ukraine losing this credibility, and also the persecution of journalists that we kind of talked about, some cases off record, but also we discussed there was a G7 meeting, ambassadors of G7 met Ukrainian journalists, and from what I heard from those journalists, all of main independent media are experiencing a lot of pressure since autumn last year.
To do what?
To report or not report certain things, like corruption, mostly. Yeah.
But about the reporting of corruption, let's talk about it. Does it make sense for the government to request that during a war, the intensity on this reporting reduce? Because I believe that when it comes to trying to not have bias, we talked about this as well a bit before, like it's very easy for people to say that Ukrainian news is biased. But I think that in such a way that Ukrainian news does not do like, okay, here's the Ukrainian side and here's the Russian side of things, right? In the Ukrainian news, especially with regards to the war, Ukrainian news, Russia is bad, that's all.
Right? Absolutely.
Right, so it's biased, right? And in an effort to not seem so biased, you know, I remember in, I think it was in the autumn of 2022, they started to report just a little bit about problems in the military with funding and problems with charity funding. And this was like some sort of like, I don't know, this gave birth in some way to this, like, I'll get to my point, but this sort of reporting kind of started then. And I think that that is just the way of the Ukrainian journalists to show that we are not biased. We're also going to report on the negative things in Ukraine. Although that's not the kind of like unbiased reporting that I'm looking for. But I think reporting on corruption is just a way of Ukrainian journalists to show like, yeah, we're going to also dig into Ukraine during a war. But during a war, I can understand, and I'm no fan of Zelensky right now, but I can understand the government saying, we are fighting a war where we rely on international support. Hugely, right? Like, I think that without international support, Ukraine wouldn't be able to hold back the line. They wouldn't be able to protect the skies. They wouldn't, Ukraine would have lost very quickly. So, and for international support, Ukraine also needs international citizens to be on their side. And when you have a report on corruption in the country, and when it's just like, you know, every week it's a new official is corrupt, a new official has bought cars, which disgusts me. And I'm not even kidding. It disgusts me because the level of inhumanity you can possess that makes you do something so openly corrupt during a war, for me, it's just disgusting. But my point, I can see how the administration would ask that you tone it down, because when people in other countries see this reporting, they're not going to open it and really read the article and understand and see maybe nuances, if there are at all. They're not going to consider that maybe it's not everybody, it's not a large part of the government, although I think it is. It's not a large part of the government that is involved in this corruption. They're not going to consider that nothing has been said about Zelensky as to being corrupt. They're just going to see another Ukrainian was stealing money sent for the people during the war. Another Ukrainian was stealing money sent to the military. Another Ukrainian, another Ukrainian, another Ukrainian. The people begin to lose support for Ukraine because they think the government is just using an opportunity, which is the war, to make money. And that really does sabotage the aid that Ukraine needs from the international countries. So I can understand government saying, hey, tone it down on the corruption. Doesn't mean I support them. I'm just saying, yeah, I can understand.
I partially agree. So first, at the beginning, you mentioned that you think it's that journalists started reporting on corruption is kind of like compensation for them not being biased related to,
in regards
related
to
Russia.
The war. Yes.
Yes. I disagree with that part. I think that journalists.
I said that because I believe that there was a comment. There were comments about it in the beginning of the war about the journalism from Ukraine being just only Ukrainian, only pro-Ukrainian, only all the time about Ukrainian, and only about good things about Ukraine.
I disagree that this is what motivated journalists. I think the corruption, it has always been a topic for Ukrainian journalists. And they, even when they were quiet and there was basically self-censorship, they were still like thinking about it, but they just preferred to censor themselves. But then is it fair to ask journalists to wind it down? I think that it might be fair. At the very,
by the way, I didn't say it's fair. I said it's understandable.
It's under, oh, everything is understandable if you think about it.
I mean, it's
for a while.
So, it's like it's not so far fetched, you know. That's what I mean. Like it is
from the perspective
it's
of
a reasonable request from the perspective of diplomatic relations, from politics. It's a reasonable request
from the perspective of a democratic country. It's not
sure, but that's not necessarily what is the priority during the war.
Well, Ukraine wants to remain a democratic country because
Ukraine
this is one of the angles.
Ukraine can also remain a democratic country. But during the war, we can, in any country, during a war, the retaining of your democracy will not be the highest priority to the country.
Especially
when you cannot support yourself by yourself.
I agree there. But the counter argument would be that if it is a very short-term thing, like the first months when nobody knew what's going to happen, it's not time to talk about its corruption. When it started transitioning into a long-term protracted war, after the negotiations, for instance, in Turkey kind of went down, and it became clear that it's going to be a war of attrition, basically. When it moves into this stage, you already have to talk about corruption, because long term, you can't just put it under the rug for years.
I agree. And especially because if you leave it under the rug, it just keeps on growing. It festers.
Exactly.
But also about timing, I don't think it was a wrong time. I like the direction Jonali started to go towards. But then when the counterattack failed, and I don't know if we can say fail. No, can
I
we
think
fail?
It's I feel reasonably like it's safe fair to say assumption.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, you don't feel safe.
No. I just feel like maybe some people are like, don't say anything. Well, you don't know yet. I feel like it's been months, so maybe we know. But yeah, anyway, when the counterattack failed, and especially now with all the resistance when it comes to funding from international, like from foreign countries. That, I think, is a bigger reason for the administration to say, chill it, because now it's totally politics, right? In the US, Ukraine is waiting for this funding. They finally came together to agree on a bill. And then Trump came up and said, no, don't take it, because Trump wants to use the border as an election, like a thing for his election, right? So he said to the Republicans in the US, don't accept the bill anymore. Don't like vote and pass this bill. Now, but my point there is that Ukraine is being used as politics in many places. And the more you have this corruption thing coming up, in other countries, politicians can say, look at what's happening in the country. And they can use the country, Ukraine, as a way to, like, they can use the country during their campaigning and win. And Ukraine just keeps losing.
So I think it's as usually it comes to this trade-off between short-term benefit and or damage and long-term damage.
I agree.
And I think that most like bureaucrats, elites in the West, they are not disillusioned about Ukraine. They know that Ukraine takes which place in the corruption list? Somewhere at the bottom.
I saw someone told me 108 and then I saw 104.
Exactly. And that has not gone anywhere. And Ukraine not having any investigations, I mean, people who think about Ukraine, they know that it's not because corruption has disappeared, it's because it's not being investigated. So that's for them, the fact that there is some movements, there are some trials, that's a good sign. Then I agree that you can actually, that's for lay people, if it gets to mass media of Western countries, that can be used.
There is the problem. It's not with the like politicians. I believe it's the lay people, because, and again, I use US again just because that's the election that I pay attention to the most.
He wants to move to the US.
I really don't. It would be a horrible place for me to live. But that's the election I pay attention to the most. And it's an election season. And it's just very easy to use Ukraine during an election season in the US. I think that, I'm not saying it should have, but if the war had happened a year earlier where Biden was president, yeah, it might not have been such a huge problem to pass this bill now. But the election season it's election season. There are so many ways that different parties could fund and campaign with Ukraine, using Ukraine, especially for Republicans, and to tell people in the country that it's because of Ukraine that you don't have money to buy gas, or you don't have enough food on your table as you used to. So Ukraine is going to be used as a tool. So when you have this news about corruption just like amplified, it's also just something that people can use to convince their people that sponsoring or funding Ukraine in this time is not the best idea. So I'm not saying that I agree with the administration, as I don't. And I do think that it's good that the journalists are blowing these horns now. But I can see where they're coming from.
I also see where they're coming from. So let's come back to Ukraine. And I know you said that you don't see a problem with propaganda, but would you agree that most people do see a problem with it?
I think that most people say that they see a problem with it, but they don't recognize when propaganda is being used, so they don't really see a problem with it.
But whenever they notice it, they do see a problem with it.
If they notice it, they will say they see a problem with it. And I don't think it's because they feel there's a problem with it. Well, maybe they do, but I think there are two things. They feel like they have been deceived. They feel used. So they say there's a problem with it, sure. But I don't think a lot of people ever recognize when propaganda is being used. And so they don't know that there's a problem with it. But if you ask them, they will say, yes, there is a problem with it, because they are supposed to say, yes, there's a problem with it, because they're supposed to not like being used or not like being deceived. So
what do you mean supposed to? Isn't that how they actually feel?
Don't have a
Who are
problem.
You to say that they don't feel this way?
I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I just really believe that a lot of people don't think about it that much.
Yeah, but that's not my point. But whenever they realize that they've been manipulated, they do have a problem with it.
Yeah, I just don't want to say whenever. I want to say if they realize
that. Are you saying people are stupid?
I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm just saying that people don't think about a lot of things. Doesn't mean that they're stupid.
I think if you ask like people in Ukraine whether there is propaganda, I honestly think they will partially acknowledge it.
I don't think so. I honestly think that a lot of people will say that propaganda, because this thing about propaganda is that people ascribe propaganda to a bad regime. People think that bad politicians use propaganda. They think that dictators use propaganda. If you asked people in Ukraine, is there a problem with propaganda, or is not even if there's a problem, but is there propaganda in Russia, they'll say yes. Is there propaganda in China, they'll say yes. Is there propaganda in Ukraine, they'll say no. Why? Because they don't think Ukraine is a bad regime. Ukraine has a bad regime. And they think that, and maybe I am being an asshole, but I believe
you
that
are.
A lot of
not
people,
because of this.
A lot of people think that the country and the government and the administration, even if there are problems with corruption, at least Zelensky, a lot of people still have faith in Zelensky and trust him. And so they don't consider that Ukraine, the government, would use propaganda.
I say, okay, let's
now. I'm not going to say about before the war.
No, before for
now.
Sure. But now I think it's less, but I think it's possible to support your government and still believe that there is propaganda. And that's what's happening in Russia. I think most people who support Putin, if you ask them if there is propaganda on national news, they will say yes, absolutely. But they still support Putin.
Okay. Based on a real conversation I had, I've asked someone about propaganda in Ukraine and they said, yes, there is propaganda, but it is justified because Ukraine has the moral high ground being the victim of the war.
Okay, but they acknowledge it.
Yeah, but do they think it's bad? No.
So let's imagine, so a lot of this propaganda, not a lot, some part of it is politically motivated, particularly by Zelensky, and especially when it comes to the United News, right? But I want to consider a situation, like factor out the political motivations that are always there, but let's only consider this idealistic actor who only acts in, who only wants to advance the national interest and who only cares about democracy, national security, and I don't know, when not during the wartime, maybe like economic and health development. In which cases, in that case, can propaganda be justified just based on the national interest, basically?
Well, I think I kind of already brought this up earlier in this recording, haven't I?
Well, I think you're fine with propaganda, generally speaking. So
no, I do think that I've said it before. Like if I think that my ideals are good, I do think that my manipulation or deception.
Would you like to live in a country that
no
has propaganda? So
no, but no, I don't think it's possible for me to live in a country that doesn't use propaganda.
But, okay, it's not a dichotomy. Either it exists or not. It's about how much propaganda there is.
Right. So it does exist in every country as far as I think.
Okay, but
yes. Would I like to live in a country where there is
less
propaganda? I would like to live in a country where people think a lot for themselves.
But there is also less propaganda.
Honestly, I don't want to. I don't really care that much about affecting the originator of this propaganda, but I would care more that the people who are supposed to be influenced by this propaganda are not. I don't think that propaganda itself grows, right? And it's stronger. The degree of propaganda is stronger in the country because of the amount of people that are influenced by propaganda. But if people in the society were able to recognize and be aware when propaganda was being used, then it wouldn't be growing. So I'm not so much interested in the person who is originating or manufacturing this news and this information or cherry picking or misleading people, as I'm interested in the people who are being misled. And I would like to live in a country where people who are supposed to be misled just aren't. That's what.
Is that realistic?
Is your question realistic?
It's not. Okay. And also, okay, other things being equal, would you support someone who uses propaganda or someone who doesn't?
I would support someone who has ideals that are similar to my ideals. It doesn't matter if they use propaganda or not.
Okay, let's assume they both support or don't support your ideas in the same way.
If they don't support my ideas in the same way, I won't.
Okay, they both support your ideas if they, to the same extent.
Okay, we're talking about an election kind of situation, yes, right? Okay, if both of them support my ideas to the same extent, one of them uses propaganda and the other doesn't, I will wait to see which one has more influence, and then I'll put my support behind that person. Because the propaganda,
I'm rolling in my eyes.
The propaganda wouldn't work on me, but I would need to have my main goal is that my ideas and my ideals are the ones in place. Doesn't matter if the person is using propaganda or not.
I'm sorry. How the hell can you call yourself a supporter of democracy if you don't stand against propaganda?
What do you mean?
I mean, freedom of news, independence of news. I mean, I'm sorry, how can you be okay with propaganda?
Both things can exist at the same time.
And also, like, your government, keeping your government accountable. How is it possible if you're okay with propaganda? It's one thing to just accept that it happens, but it's a different thing to say that you're indifferent to it.
Because many things can exist at the same time. There can be independent media that is honest, and there can be propaganda. As a person living in a society, I get to choose what I'm going to pay attention to. And I cannot influence propaganda because I'm not being misled by propaganda.
But you,
if I have funds, I can support people who have this independent, true, honest, well-sourced media that actually works hard to report the news. I will support them, sure. But I'm not influenced by propaganda. I cannot make another person not be influenced by propaganda or be influenced by propaganda. So I get to choose. And those two things can exist in a society, propaganda and non-propaganda media. So why should I be bothered by the presence of the propaganda? That's a question to me. It's not that if it was only propaganda, if I lived in a country where it was only propaganda and there was like active silencing of other kinds of media, that's a totally different thing. And we would have that conversation. I would say, I don't want to live there. But if I live in a society where both things exist, I have no influence on that.
Because you have other people living with you in the same country who vote, who also vote and influence your society. And you know that some of them will be influenced by that propaganda.
Okay, so tell me how I would change it.
Well, you can speak out against it, for starters. No, but I mean, how can you influence anything? You don't have many resources, but you still have opinions about other things.
Well, if I can, yes, I will support people who are speaking out against it. But at the end of the day, I don't have the ability to stop someone from
being misled. No, but that's a different argument.
No, but you're asking me how I can be comfortable or how I can accept, I don't know, what was the question? How I can be okay, indifferent, right, to propaganda, right? That was your question.
Well, indifferent in terms of values. Your actions, okay, you might not have enough resources to influence it. But in terms of your values...
there are a lot of things that go against my values that I don't do anything to change.
Yes, but you still say that you are against it, not that you're indifferent.
There are a lot of things I really just don't care about. What do you mean? I cannot be... I don't have a stance on everything.
No, on some things you don't have a stance.
Yes, and it doesn't mean that... If I don't have a stance, and it doesn't mean that it's aligned
with your argument values. That you're not... The thing is, you're saying you are trying to get out. I don't know why.
No, I'm not trying to get out. You asked me about propaganda. I don't fall for propaganda. Do I think that I don't pass moral judgment on propaganda, as I just see it as a tool. I don't fall for propaganda. would I, you asked me first, would you like to live in a society where propaganda is rampant?
Ubiquitous?
Let's use rampant, okay? And I answered you like, I can't really, would I like to live in a society that silences other media that isn't part of the propaganda machine? No, because I would live in a society where there is media that isn't part of the propaganda machine, and then there is propaganda, and I get to choose where I'll listen to it.
Would you like a state-owned media be used by the government to advance their political agenda?
You ask, would you like? What?
Would you like?
It's an odd question to begin
with.
Why
not?
Would you like? Why would I like it? I don't
exactly
like
so
it.
Just say it.
I don't like it, but I can't do shit about it.
Okay.
It exists. So my point is that why I can develop a level of indifference to the existence of propaganda is because I have lived, or I live in a society where the alternative exists and I get to choose what to listen to. And so why should I be so, like, why should I then pass judgment or be so overwhelmed by the existence of propaganda when I can choose something else that exists as well?
Okay, moving on. I am dissatisfied with your answer, but...
You want me to say propaganda is bad and we cannot live with propaganda? It's just not the reality.
No, I just want to say that it's bad and that's it.
I'm not going to... Oh, it's bad?
For you, yes.
I haven't said that. It exists. I've accepted that it exists and I choose what I will listen to, which is...
Okay, when it comes to Ukraine, is there a line for you? So there is this national security, well, interest, right? Cause. And you mentioned that during the wartime, the national security interest prevails over freedom of speech.
When did I mention this?
Earlier, today, on record, I think.
Oh, I was talking about how I can see.
Yes. So is
I didn't say that as an opinion of mine. I just said, like, it.
Okay, do you agree?
That national... Ask.
During the wartime, would you agree that national security can prevail over the free speech?
Can prevail, yes.
Yes. Or would you consider it justified?
I would consider it understandable.
Would you personally consider it justified? And then my next question is, to which extent?
Would I consider it justified? By considering justified, it means I would say it is right. No, I wouldn't consider it justified. I would allow it.
Right, in the way that this is the optimal solution. So like, you have a couple of bad options, you still have to choose the better.
That's what I said, right. But I would allow it. Doesn't mean that I would consider it right.
You would consider it the best decision.
I would allow it.
What do you mean allow? Okay, if you are in position of power and you can actually do it,
would you do it? If I was in a position of power, it would be a different conversation. If I was in a position of power in a country that is being attacked by another country, of course I would say, yes, you should do it. But as a person who is observing, I can allow it. Where? I can say, you know what? I don't like it. It is not right because it's feeding lies to people. But I can see how it helps the country. So personally, I will not, you know, try to do anything to counter it. But I will just point out that it is not right. It is allowed.
Well, why wouldn't you say that it's also the best of the available options?
I don't know that it is.
But you just said if you were in a position of power, you would do the same thing.
Because I'm in a position of power. It doesn't mean that it's the best option.
No, but you think it's the best option.
I have not said those words at all.
No, you said if you were in position of power, you would do the same thing. That means that you do think it's the best option.
That doesn't mean that I think it's the best option. It means that I think it's an option that is acceptable. I have not used the word best option.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know all the options.
The best option you know of, okay?
I really cannot say that.
Oh my God. Are you already preparing for like election or something?
No, because it is not. What do you want? You want me to say specific things for you to accept them. You want me to say
I want you to be a little bit consistent.
Is it justifiable as it's right? It is not right. So it's not justified for me.
No, if you have two bad options, you choose the best option and you say that this is...
But that doesn't mean that it is
option.
Justified. It doesn't mean that it is
it
right.
Is justified.
It just means that it's allowed.
What do you mean allow it? It's justified.
It is not justified.
It is justified. If I need to cut off a leg in order to save a life, it is justified.
It means that we understand that you had to do it, but doesn't mean that it is right. If I kill somebody
because... It's not... So a doctor cutting off a leg...
If I kill someone in self-defense, everybody understands that I had to do it. Doesn't mean that it's right to kill someone.
If those a doctor, are two different things. If a doctor amputates a leg,
you, why don't you want to accept my own?
I gave you first.
No, why? Because it's very clear. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do, but it means that it was the thing that you could do at that point. So
I think it's right.
We have different definitions of it then. I don't think it's the right thing, but I think it's what you had to do. So I allow it. That's why if I were a judge and someone came, I would say, yeah, you killed someone. And that to me is an immoral act. But because I understand why you killed the person, that the scenario is different. Doesn't mean that it's right. It means that I can, you know, I can live with it, so to speak.
I think it's a bit unfair and like not misleading. You're avoiding some moral responsibility when it comes to your values. When you see, it's like those people who, well, in politics, it's very common. When you see someone in the position of power facing a difficult choice and they have to choose between two bad things, and then whenever they do something, obviously something shitty goes as a consequence, and then you only cherry pick that consequence and just start criticizing it without saying that it was the best solution available.
Hey, look, the thing is, when you have two bad options and you choose one, it doesn't make it the right option. That's why we have the better of two evils. You have two evils and you just choose one of them. It doesn't make it the best option. It doesn't make it the best decision also. It just makes it the better option at that point. That's what allowing is.
It makes it the best available decision. And you have to say that that guy made the right choice.
You don't have to say anything. Your words don't have to be the words that people are used to describe it. You can say that this guy made the better choice of the two of them. Doesn't make it the right choice. So this best word that you want people to use, just it doesn't make sense to me why you need someone to say it's the best thing. It wasn't the best thing. Joe Biden is not the best option for president in the US right now, but he's the better of two evils, better of Trump.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's the best. He'll never be the best.
He's the best. I mean, out of two, he's the best out of two.
Literally, English will tell you he's the better out of two. So we have to start rounding this up.
Yeah, this didn't... Because of you, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go.
It went enough where I wanted it to go. You can make your closing statements.
My closing statement is that, what is it? That I do think that most people consider propaganda as bad. We didn't touch Taiwan today, but I think it's an interesting conversation because they're facing similar pressure when it comes to China.
I don't know much about it, though. No, so I'm not saying it doesn't sound interesting. No. I just don't know much about it. So
it's just I wanted to say a closing statement, but it sounds like a new topic.
Yeah, just you should really close because we have. You should close now.
I don't have a closing statement. Close it for us.
Propaganda exists. There's something else other than propaganda. Fucking choose right, if you want to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. It's so stupid. Yeah, I don't know how to end it, so.
I think we can cut it like several minutes ago.
Yeah, let's do that.